Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that Dave read for us a little earlier. It's on page 1032 in the Pew Bibles, Revelation and chapter 7. Revelation and chapter 7. I wonder if you ever think about heaven. And I wonder what thoughts you have about heaven. You know, if I say to you, give me, you know, imagine you've got this VR, but you're actually thinking, your thoughts about heaven is what you are seeing. Can you describe to me what heaven is like? I wonder if you ever think about that. And I wonder if you have some of these ideas that have come that, you know, we're sitting on clouds with harps and spending eternity like that. Frankly, that's even more boring than a treadmill. You know, can you imagine thousands of years and thousands of years sitting on a cloud? I can't even play a harp or any instrument trying to play this harp. That doesn't sound to me like anything great. But actually, when we read the Bible, and this book is called Revelation, because it is revelation. And in it, God is revealing things. It's a series of visions. This is what's happening here. John is on this island of Patmos. I believe it's just a rock in the Mediterranean. It's not an island where people go on holidays. It's not one of these Greek islands where you actually go on holidays. I believe it is just a rock with no beach or anything. And he was there on exile because he believed in Christ. We're told that at the beginning of the book, that because of his faith in Jesus, he was imprisoned on this island of Patmos. Well, the Lord Jesus comes to him. And as I said earlier, this is the wonderful thing about being a Christian, that Christ cares for every one of his people. Everyone is precious to him. And everyone, the situation that they're in, matters to him. He is God. He's not like man. You see, I can only consider the situation of a few people. You know, if everybody says to me, look, I've got trials in my life, I can only take on board maybe two, maybe three. But the Lord Jesus can take on board the trials of every one of his children here on earth. And every one of his children matters to him. And the trials that they're going through matters to him. And he's compassionate and merciful. And just as he did with John, he comes to his people. And if you're going through trials, you should pray to him. And you should say to him, Lord, I need encouragement. I need support. I need strengthening. Will you come to me? I need to be joyful. Will you come to me? And he will. So John is on this island on Patmos because of his faith. And the Lord Jesus comes to him. And the Lord Jesus encourages him because he's alone. He's missing Christian fellowship. He doesn't have Christians around him. He probably loved singing and is missing all the singing. And he loved being with God's people and is missing God's people. And the Lord Jesus gives him a series of visions. This phrase that we saw in verse 9, after this I looked and behold, that phrase occurs again and again in the book of Revelation. After this I looked and behold, because he's seeing, and every time you see that phrase, it's a new vision, another vision is now being given to him. And he has these visions of heaven. Now when you read Revelation, heaven never appears a boring place. You certainly don't read about clouds and people sitting on clouds with harps or anything like that. When you read Revelation, heaven is an exciting place. Heaven is a thrilling place. How do we know this? Because of the songs. I don't know if you've ever noticed, Revelation has a number of songs in it. It's actually a songbook. There's a number of songs in the book of Revelation. You start from chapter 1 and you go through and you look at the number of songs. And we read, actually in our reading this morning, a song that they sang. Actually, we read a couple of songs that they sang. We read from verse 11, and all the angels standing, well, actually from verse 10, crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne. And from verse 15, we have another song, and you go on in the book of Revelation, and there are these songs that are there because people are excited. People are thrilled to be there. People sing when they're happy. People sing when they're thrilled. You go to a rugby match or a football match and your team scores a try and people sing because they're excited by this. Well, people in heaven are singing. Today, people in heaven are singing. And they're singing because they're thrilled and excited. Heaven is a wonderful place. And it is presented like that in the book of Revelation. Now this morning I want to look at this passage from verse 9 to 17. And I want to ask three questions of this text. This is something that I like to do when you look at a passage. Ask questions of that passage. And the passage yields its answers and you get an understanding of that passage. So I want to ask three questions of this passage. And my first question is this: who is in heaven? Who is in heaven? And we read in verse 9, after this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. A great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages. There are billions of people in heaven. Heaven is not a small place. Heaven doesn't have a small number of people. The Apostle John says, I looked at this number and he says it was innumerable, no one can count. There were so many. Now, this is not just human writing, of course. He is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is giving him these words to write. And he says, this is what God has shown me. Heaven is this massive place with billions of people. And he describes them and he says they're from every nation and all tribes and there are peoples and languages, all sorts of peoples there. Isn't that a thrilling picture? That there are Africans in heaven and South Americans in heaven and Indians in heaven and Chinese in heaven and Russians in heaven and Ukrainians in heaven and British in heaven and French in heaven and North Americans, Canadians. Wherever you go in the world, there are these peoples and they're all represented in heaven. No nation will be missing. I find that thrilling. In my prayer time, I go through some of the nations of the world and you think about a place like Somalia in East Africa or you think of Afghanistan and the church is absolutely tiny. We've never known of a large number of Somalis becoming Christians. Throughout history, it's been a Muslim country. We've never known of a large number of Afghans becoming Christians. It's always been a Muslim country. And you can pray for these countries. And you can say, well, Lord, their number must be taken up. They must be represented in heaven. We don't want heaven to be an imbalanced place where there are more Americans and more Europeans, but one or two Somalis. We don't want that. We want billions of Americans and billions of Europeans and millions of Somalis, surely. That's how we want it. And heaven is this place where all kinds of people are there. People who were born Hindus and trusted in Christ. People who were born Muslims and trusted in Christ. People who were born atheists and trusted in Christ. People who were born in the highest levels of society, royalty, the wealthy, they are there. And people who were born in the slums of Mumbai and Calcutta, they are there. Because God doesn't exclude anyone who trusts in Jesus. Heaven is this place with billions of people. It's an exciting place because all of God's people are there and they are sinless. We won't meet people who are difficult to get on with and awkward and rude and obnoxious in any kind of way. You sometimes meet people like that here on earth, but not in heaven. Because they are God's people and they have been perfected by Christ. They've been prepared by Christ and brought into heaven by Christ. Do you know, this challenges us, doesn't it? Because we can be so narrow in our thinking. And we can think, well, it's only certain churches which has Christians in it. And when we go on holiday, well, of course, we must look for a certain type of church. Well, there are Christians everywhere. There are Christians in the Anglican Church. And there are Christians in the Methodist Church. And there are Christians in the Charismatic Churches. And there are Christians in the Pentecostal Churches. And there are Christians in the Baptist Churches. And there are Christians in the Free Evangelical Churches. All churches that profess to believe in the Word of God and hold the Word of God as the only authority and believe in Christ as the only Savior, those churches will have Christians in them. I'm not saying every person there will be a born-again believer, but you will find Christians everywhere. Can I say this to you? It grieves me sometimes when somebody says to me, I'm moving to a new place and I want to look for a church which is exactly the same as the church that I came from. You know, I've been attending a certain church, I've been in that church all my life, and I know the kind of church I go to, and I know its traditions and so on. I'm now relocating to a new place, I've got to look for the same church. Well, why not look for somewhere else? Why not see if there's a lively church elsewhere where God's people meet under God's word, worshipping Christ and serving Christ? Surely we see God's people everywhere. Christ is a great Savior and He is saving a great number of people from a variety of backgrounds, and they worship Him in all kinds of ways. We don't want boring kind of worship where we all do exactly the same thing. There's variety. Because God is a God of variety. So the first question, who is in heaven? People of all kinds, this large multitude that no one could number. The second question I want to ask is this, what are they doing in heaven? There are millions, billions of people in heaven today. Well, what are they doing? Well, every vision that you see in Revelation of heaven tells you one thing. They are worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ. They are singing songs of praise to God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. They're bringing honor and glory to His name. This is what it says here, doesn't it? Verse 10, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And we find the elders who sit seated around the throne in verse 12, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. And then we read from verse 15 that there are these people who are there around God, and they're there before the throne of God to serve Him day and night in His temple, and He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence, and they will have no more crying and no more hunger, and they will worship their God. The whole of heaven is a place of worship. Now, why? Why is this? Well, it's because this is what we were made for. And this is what brings man the greatest joy. I wonder if you've ever thought about this. What is it that makes us human beings happy? This is the great question, isn't it? And every person is asking this question. How can I be happy? What will make me happy? What will give me joy in my life? What will give me real joy in my heart so that I wake up in the morning a happy, joyful, smiling person? How will I get joy? How can I be happy in my life? And we human beings tend to think, well, there are things on this world which will give us happiness. If only I can have possessions, if I could have wealth, if I could have property and a big car and nice holidays and so on, then I'll be happy. And I think we know this by now. Human beings have tried this and it has failed. Some of the wealthiest people on earth are some of the unhappiest. And then there are others who think, well, as long as I can have great experiences, I can travel to some part of the world and see great sights there, and then go to some other part of the world and do a round the world trip or something like that. As long as I can have tremendous experiences, then I will be happy. Well, again, people have tried this and they've come back and they say, well, we've had all sorts of experiences. It never really met the need of our hearts. We never felt contented, joyful, or happy. And sometimes we as Christians can get misled. And we can say to ourselves, well, if only life was good, you know, if only I had no problems in my life, if only there were no difficulties in my life, if only life had everything that went smoothly and well, then I would be happy. If everything in church was great, and everything at home was great, everything with my family was great, then I would be happy. Well, actually, happiness is in Christ. It is to know Christ, it is to love Christ, it is to worship Christ. That is happiness. That is joy. And we human beings were made like this. God made us. And God made our hearts in a certain way. And God made the human heart in such a way that that human heart is full of joy and happiness when we are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And no other place will we find happiness. You don't read of depression in heaven. You don't read of people falling out. You don't read of unhappy people. In fact, here it says in verse 17, the Lamb is in the midst of the throne. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. You see that language of verse 17. The Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. And this is why they can sing praises to him. And this is why they can say blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have joy in your Christian life? Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put him at the center of your life and seek to be like him. You seek happiness in anything else, you will never find it. You will always come back feeling empty. But you love the Lord Jesus, you will have joy. Pray to God and say, I want to love him. Ask him that in prayer. Make that your prayer. Make it your prayer every morning. Lord, I want to love the Lord Jesus. I want my heart to love him today. And he will give you love for Christ. And with love for Christ will come joy and contentment and happiness. So we've looked at two questions. Who is in heaven? And secondly, what are they doing in heaven? My third question, how did they get there? How did they get there? There are these billions of people, and they're from every nation, and from all tribes, and all peoples, and all languages. Well, how did they get into heaven? Well, we read in verse 11, and all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders, and the four living creatures fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God. And then we read in verse 13, one of the elders addressed me saying, who are these clothed in white robes and from where have they come? And verse 14, that's the key verse. I said to him, sir, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How does anybody get into heaven? The blood of the Lamb. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ is the only means of heaven. There are people in heaven who were born in Christian homes and went to church right from childhood and lived upright moral lives, never strayed. But they are not in heaven because they were born in a Christian home or because they lived upright lives. They are in heaven because they trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. They are in heaven because the blood of Jesus Christ has washed away their sins. They are in heaven because Jesus died for them on the cross of Calvary and their sins are forgiven. There are people in heaven who were born to Hindu parents, Muslim parents, atheist parents, Buddhist parents, spiritist parents. And they're in heaven because they came to faith in Jesus and they asked Jesus for salvation and they asked Jesus for forgiveness and the blood of Jesus cleansed them and Jesus by his death on the cross forgave them their sins. Christ and Christ alone is the means of entry. No other way will we get in. You might have been born to the finest Christian parents. You might have been attending church all your life. You might be a good, moral, upright person. That will not get you into heaven. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you been forgiven your sins through the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary? Has Jesus saved you by his life and death and resurrection? That's the question. When you stand at the gates of heaven, it won't be, who were your parents? Did you go to church? Did you live a good life? Were you baptized? Did you sing in the choir? It's none of that. Do you believe in Jesus? Have your sins been forgiven through Jesus' death? You see, that's the only thing we read about these people. We know nothing about their background. We don't know about their parents. We don't know about their lives. We don't know whether they lived good, moral, upright lives or anything like that. We know nothing about them. The only thing we know about them is this, that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that is the only thing that will matter in heaven. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you a believer this morning? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to Christ and said to him, I am a sinner, will you save me? Will you forgive me? If you have, you are fit for heaven. And if you haven't, well, why not today? Why not today come to Christ? And why not say to him, I need salvation. I want a place in heaven, this exciting place that the Bible speaks about. I want to be there and I want to worship Christ and love Christ and have the joy of Christ in my life. Will you save me from my sin? Why not today come to Christ and be saved through his blood? How did they get there? They were washed in the blood of the Lamb. So three things about heaven from this passage. Who is there, this great multitude? What are they doing, worshipping Christ? And how did they get there? Through the blood of Christ.